Our scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them the Beatitudes. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I guess this is where I step in. Right, Marcia?
Yes, sir.
Okay. First, I want to say thank you to a lot of people this morning before I forget it. Eric up there in the sound booth, Marcia, and Debbie in the office. I've never been in a church where I had so much help. I've always been in a church where I've had to put the bulletin together, and I had to do everything. And so it just is a blessing to be able to do that. And the other thing I want to compliment this morning is the hymn selection, because "Here I Am, Lord." That is a beautiful hymn, and it ought to touch your heart. The two songs that really converted me to be in ministry was "Here I Am, Lord," and "Victory in Jesus." That was the two that sealed the deal. This morning I want to talk to you a little bit about the Beatitudes. And I promise you, I will not go past 11 o'clock. I used to be in a church, a small church, and we was in a small community. We had one restaurant, and we was 9:30 to 10:30, or 10 to 11, and the Baptist church was 11 to 12. And every week, one of the members would come up to me and say, "Don, don't go too long. We got to beat the Baptist to the restaurant." So, you know, we're not going to have that problem today. You know, we talked about this in Sunday school this morning, but following God is a lifelong journey. And it's not necessarily an easy journey. But I've always enjoyed talking to people that are older than I am, which is few nowadays. But it's interesting to talk to the seniors and how they have related to Jesus Christ, how they've placed their faith, and at times, how they have been troubled. So it's an example to all of us that it's not an easy journey. But the Beatitudes give us an idea of what Jesus was talking about for us to enter the kingdom of God. As we grow in our faith, it is a challenging journey, to say the least. And we are tempted at times to walk away. Walk away from God because our prayers wasn't answered. War in the world. But you know, if you read the Bible, Jesus was tempted too. He was tempted in the desert by the devil, and he walked away. And the other thing he went to the garden, and he asked God, "Do I really have to do this? Do I have to die?" And his answer was, "Yes, to you, God, I will obey." And he proceeded. So it's not just us. Jesus suffered for us. And he suffered at least two times that I mentioned this morning. We're starting a new year this year, January. Almost, the month is almost over with. And we wonder sometimes in our lifetime, what can I do to stay on the path of righteousness? The answer is you can read the Bible. You can talk to your pastor or your assistant pastor. You can talk to a friend. You can talk to God in person through prayer. The Beatitudes are not a set of laws like the Ten Commandments were. Jesus is trying to explain to the disciples. They're wanting to know, what do they have to do to get into the kingdom of God and bring the kingdom of God to earth? And so he talked to them in the terms of the Beatitudes. Now, if you listen to Mark or Matthew, he'll tell you that it was a Sermon on the Mount. But if you go to Luke, he descended from the mount and talked to the disciples on a level ground. It doesn't make any difference where he made his speech. It's just significant that the two scripture writers made a difference. The other thing you'll notice in Matthew, there's at least 10 Beatitudes. If you go to Luke, there's only 4 or 5. Some people theorize that Matthew added to the Luke version. Can the Beatitudes be helpful to you and I today? And the answer is yes. The Beatitude is a Latin word, and it means blessedness. The phrase blessed are in each beatitude, which implies that you are in a current state of happiness or well-being. On the slide up there, you can see that the Beatitudes are a radical, bold statement of Jesus' intent to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. They will bring true peace and freedom for all who dare to follow him as his disciples. It is through those disciples that his kingdom will bring blessings to all the peoples of the earth. I don't remember who I got that from, but I didn't write that. It was a quote I copied off of my lectionary, but I don't remember. I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was. But the point is, those disciples are you and I. We are the disciples of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about the 12 or the crowd that surrounded us. We're talking about you and I today. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, he preached 13 sermons on the Beatitude. And you might wonder why, because he theorized that that was the best sermon that's ever been preached. We need to put the emphasis on the blessing. Jesus isn't condemning you or I for not living into the promise that he made. He is blessing those who have already had a vision of what it means to live in Christ, and encouraging those who haven't yet caught that vision to lean on in the possibilities. Jesus wants us to remember and remind us that through difficult times in our Christian journey, Jesus is there with us. He said at one time, if you are heavy with burden, come to me. Blessed are the poor, and I want to go over just 4 or 5 of the Beatitudes, because sometimes they're confusing if you don't understand and really dig into it. The first one I want to talk about, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. He's not talking about a Jew or a Pharisees. He didn't say in there, good people. He didn't say moral people. He said broken people. They are the ones that will inherit the kingdom of God. The broken people who recognize their need for God are the ones who are blessed. You and I, in Jesus' mind, are broken people because we continue to strive for Jesus Christ. And sometimes we wander away. But we are blessed by Jesus and God. Blessed are those who mourn. In this meaning, we find that the mourning is declared as a blessing because to mourn our sinful nature produces a likelihood we have the intention to renew ourselves and follow God's righteousness. Our mourning implies a love for people in our lives, and therefore we will receive comfort from God. Mourning in this text means that you're mourning within yourself because you have not been a good disciple of Christ. Blessed are the meek. Now, the meek, I think that's self-explanatory, but it means self-control. We are encouraged to be meek in our community, in our church, in the light of the Lord that taught us. We are meek that we don't oppose him, but to be submissive to the will of God. And this can be difficult, but it can bring peace and tranquility. Your wealth, your clothes, your money, or your shelter should go to someone less fortunate than you are. And we've seen this just this past week. This church does a good job of that. Through the women's circles, through the United Methodist men, and our different people that sponsor various activities. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Having an appetite for God, having an appetite or a thirst for God, brings about virtue in yourself and justice. And that will lead to happiness in the formation of righteousness with God. To study the word, to pray, and become a center point for others to look at you and understand Christ in your life. You are an example for the community, for your kids, for the children that you teach, for your grandparents, whoever that might be, your friends, your neighbor. You come to church, but you are a disciple of Christ. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Mercy. God is, he gives us mercy. My goodness. All the free mercy he gives. Let me ask you a question. Are you merciful to your neighbor as God is merciful to you? Can you forgive your neighbor's sins as God forgives you? See, mercy is a basic nature of God. He is righteous towards those who suffer, they love, and have mercy towards family members or friends. Bring peace and happiness to your neighbors and family. Show mercy to others. The Beatitudes can remind us that through difficult times that Jesus is patiently waiting for us to come to him. And Jesus said, if you are heavy with burden, come to me. And if you are blessed, if you are poor in spirit, you're blessed to mourn. You're blessed to be meek. You're blessed to hunger. You're blessed to be merciful. You're blessed to be pure in heart. And you're blessed as a peacemaker. If you want to experience the kingdom of God in your life and bring the kingdom of the God to this world. As a disciple of Christ, we all have that opportunity. We should recognize the church as a gift that we dare not keep to ourselves, but we should share with everyone that we know. We are not blessed to feel better in ourselves. We are blessed to be a blessing to the world. I got a couple of little stories I want to tell you about. Where's my notes? What'd you do with my notes? No, I can tell this. No, I'm just kidding. A couple of illustrations I want to talk to you about this morning real quickly. When I was in Kansas City, I worked for a contractor, and we did all types of commercial refrigeration, boilers, whatever. We worked a lot. And one of the guys I worked with named Woody, he was quite a bit older than I was, and he smoked a pipe that goes down like this. And he worked with that pipe and everything. And we'd meet down in a restaurant there around 34th and Main, something like that. And we got through eating, and we walked across the street to our trucks. And Woody says, "Don, I'll be right back." So he left, went back to the restaurant. And he come back, and he was laughing. And I said, "What, Woody, what's so funny?" He said, "I asked the waitress where my pipe was, and she said, 'Woody, it's in your mouth.'" The point of the story is we get into a situation or a custom or a habit that everything is routine. It's 1, 2, 3. And we forget about that we can spread out and have the bigger wings to fly to God. So we get into a routine. But I want to tell you another story. This is Nancy. She gave me this permission. It's about her dad. And her dad had cholesterol problems. And she went over there one day to see him. And I know he was in the 70s or 80s or something like that. And he was scooping two big tablespoons or big spoons of lard into a skillet. And she said, "Daddy, what are you going to do?" And he said, "I'm going to fry me a hamburger." She said, "Daddy, the grease will make a sufficient amount for your hamburger." "Nancy, I have always done it this way." So she just walked off. Sometimes in our religious journey, we say we've always done it this way. In our individual worship, in churches, and in the community, we always want to go back and say, not always, but we have a tendency to say, we've always done it this way. To worship God and to praise Jesus Christ, you got to be flexible. Through times of hardship, times that you want to throw up your hands and say, "God, where are you?" Maybe it's time that you change your approach. Maybe at times whenever you want to pray that you sit down and just be quiet. God can't talk to you if you're talking to him. That's just a little thing. But maybe the day that or the time you read your Bible would also be a time to change. So I'm asking you this morning as we close, as we leave this building, can you become a better disciple of Jesus Christ? The answer is yes. We all can improve. Look at the Beatitudes as a reminder that Jesus would like for you to do. Jesus was explaining to the 12 disciples, and the message is also for us, that if you want to get the kingdom of heaven, and if you want the kingdom of heaven to be on earth, then look at the Beatitudes. I want to close with this psalm. Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. God is with you if you will be with him. Thank you.
Golly, wasn't that a good message? I hope you'll take something home today. And one of those wonderful things is the stories that we share with each other. How does God make a difference in your life? That's the story to tell. We've all got stories. I mean, not everybody would associate a guy with a pipe in his mouth as a Jesus story. But I would. I would. And I'll tell you, there's a Jesus story all around us all the time. We just have to recognize it and then be able to share it with somebody. Some of the funnest conversations, I know it's not a word, but some of the funnest things have just been to be visiting with somebody and say, and then the Lord said, now some of them will step away from you. That's true. They'll back up a little bit. But others will lean into you, and that's the opportunity to be able to be that joyful message. And I pray that you will be. I love that so much, because every Sunday we say something about asking God for bringing heaven to earth. Bringing heaven to earth. What would it look like if we did that? If every single thing we did would go, oh man, let's just work a little harder at bringing heaven to earth. How about that? Go forth being good storytellers. How about that one? Go forth and be a good storyteller with joys of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Have a blessed week.